Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service. Text number 30. Rupa Beda Vidastatra.
Rupa Beda Vidastatra.
Tatas Chobhayato Dattaha.
Tatas Chobhayato Dattaha.
Tesham Bahu Pada Shrestha.
Tesham Bahu Pada Shrestha.
Chatush Padas Tato Dvipat. Rupa Beda Vidastatra.
Rupa Beda Vidastatra.
Tatas Chobhayato Dattaha.
Tatas Chobhayato Dattaha.
Tesham Bahu Pada Shrestha.
Tesham Bahu Pada Shrestha.
Chatush Padas Tato Dvipat. Rupa Beda. Distinctions of form. Veda. Those who perceive. Tatra. Than them. Tataha. Than them. Cha. And. Ubhayataha. In both jaws. Tataha. Those with teeth. Tesham. Of them. Bahupadaha. Those who have many legs. Sreshta. Better. Chatupadaha. Four-legged. Tataha. Than them. Dvipat. Two-legged. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower sets of teeth. And better still are those who have many legs. Better than them are the quadrupeds. And better still are the human beings. Purport. It is said that certain birds, such as crows, can distinguish one form from another. Living entities that have many legs, like the wasp, are better than plants and grasses which have no legs. Four-legged animals are better than many-legged living entities, and better than the animals is the human being who has only two legs. Right, not a lot we can add to that. We'll move on to the next verse. Tato varanas chachatvaras tesham brahmana uttamaha brahmaneshvapi vedagyo hiyatagyo bhyadikas tataha. Among human beings, the society which is divided according to quality and work is best. And in that society, the intelligent men who are designated as brahmanas are best. Among the brahmanas, one who has studied the Vedas is the best. And among the brahmanas who have studied the Vedas, one who knows the actual purport of Veda is the best. Purport, the system of four classifications in human society, according to quality and work, is very scientific. This system of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras has now become vitiated, as the present caste system in India. But it appears that this system has been current a very long time, since it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. What does vitiated mean? Vitiated. It has become vitiated. Huh? Vitiated, yeah. What does it say? What language it's come from? Latin. It's from Latin. And vita means life. That's what we get the word vitamin. Vital, right? Vital. Right. So it's lost its vitality, lost its life. Right? Vitiated, lost its effectiveness. Unless there is such a division of the social orders in human society, including the intelligent class, the martial class, the mercantile class, and the labour class, there is always confusion as to who is to work for what purpose. A person trained to the stage of understanding the absolute truth is a brahmana. And when such a brahmana is Vedagya, Vedagyo, Hiartagyo. He understands the purpose of Veda. The purpose of Veda is to understand the absolute. One who understands the absolute truth in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Is that flower gone? Yeah, okay, good. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and who understands the term Bhagavan to mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered to be the best of the Brahmanas or a Vaishnava. I'd like to read the next verse, but I won't. We'll save that for tomorrow. Oma gyanatimirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakchu vidam jena tasmayai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kada mahiyam tadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripa tamam bande shri gurum dinacharinam. The human form of life affords us many opportunities. And we can see from the description of the different species of life. And within those species, a gradual expansion of consciousness, an expansion of ability, capacity, capability, sensual development, And so, as the living entity moves through the different stages of the evolutionary process, and we see this expansion of consciousness and the development of the individual capacity to engage the mind and the senses, there's an increase in the capacity for sense gratification, for sensual activity, and also the development of consciousness or awareness. In the previous verse, you know, those who can distinguish form are considered to be superior than those living entities that can't. So that's a development of discrimination. Which is not present in some of the forms that cover the original spiritual identity of the soul. And those living entities that are not able to positively use their the facilities that have been given to them, that they've been granted, especially in the human form, then we know that that misuse of the facility, the body is a vehicle. It's a vehicle, just like a motor car is a vehicle. And it can be used for a particular purpose. That purpose, you know, we get in a vehicle to go from one place to another. It's a means to an end, getting to where you want to go. If you misuse the vehicle, there are laws for driving vehicles. If you decide that you'll drive on the wrong side of the road, or that you'll just do wheelies, they have these gatherings of, it's been going on for years, gatherings of youth, and they just like to show off in their motor cars. It's a waste of, it's a waste of the vehicle. So if you, get caught, you can have your vehicle taken away from you, or they'll take away your license and you can't use it anymore. Right? So laws of nature are like that. If you misuse the human form, and they're much stricter than, the traffic laws, the laws of karma are inimitable. You can't disobey them without consequences. So, in the human form of life, we're given the opportunity for sense gratification, but also for the higher purpose of developing a proper understanding. And this is why the Brahmanas are so important, and why the Vaishnavas are so important in terms of the categories of forms or bodies that the living entity acquires. Because in human society, there needs to be an awareness of what the human form is meant for. What's its purpose? What the goal of existence is. The goal of existence is partially, yes, to satisfy one's senses. That's natural. And to be, it's quite normal. But the purpose of satisfying the senses is not to enjoy unrestrictedly, like an animal, but rather the purpose of the human form of life is, yes, satisfy one's natural propensities to engage the senses, but to also elevate one's consciousness, because we see in the gradual evolutionary development of the different species of life, there's this expansion of consciousness. The expansion of consciousness is ultimately to bring us to the point of understanding Brahman. No? To understand that one is a spiritual being, and ultimately to get free of the restrictions of the containment that one experiences in accepting all of these different forms. They're actually restrictions. It's like a prison. The material world is like a prison. We're bound up by the cycle of jamma, mritya, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease, and we have no taste for that. Actually, we, Prabhupada mentions in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we aspire for freedom, from release from these kind of restrictions. Birth, death, old age, and disease are not pleasant. And that continual experience, that's suffering basically, makes an impression on us. And so we have this longing or this desire to be free from these restrictions. But so long as we're attached to enjoying from the material perspective, sense gratification from the material perspective, then we'll always be bound up by these restrictive material forms. And whilst the human form is superior to the animal species, if the human form is just used for sense gratification like the animals, then the human beings are considered to be no better than animals. Dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. Because the real purpose, the sadhya or the goal of existence is to come to that level of understanding aham brahmeti, right? Is it aham brahmasmi? I am spirit, not aham mameti, I and mine on the material platform, right? I think I'm a product of my family, of my place of birth, right? I guess it's a prayer. We call it a poem, but it's a prayer. You know, I am an Australian. I love my country. What do we say in India? Yeah, that's right. Everybody thinks like that. In Britain, it's God Save the Queen, right? It used to be God Save the Queen for us too. Not anymore. So, you know, we all think, what do they say in Macedonia? I'm sure they've got some slogan, right? Our country is the best. Right on the bodily identification. But the Brahmanas, and the reason why the Brahmanas and especially the Vaishnavas are considered to be the most important or the most evolved out of all of the different species of animal existence is because they're supposed to understand the Vedas. It's mentioned here. Brahmanes vapi vedagyo. A Brahmana is supposed to know the Vedas. And of course we learn from the Bhagavad Gita and from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but from the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa, Savayaraham eva vedyu, Vedantakrit veda vid eva chaham. Krishna says, by all of the Vedas, I am to be known. That's the purpose of the Vedas. That's why the Vaishnavas are considered to be the most important. Because the Vaishnavas understand that beyond the Brahman understanding or beyond the Brahman realization, there's the Paramatma and then the Bhagavan aspect of the Supreme that should be understood. Just to understand Brahman, or that we're not the body, is a positive step in the right direction, right? But until that Brahman identity, or that Brahman realization is fully realized in understanding one's relationship with Krishna, then it's only partial, right? So that's why it's said here that yes, the Brahmana is good if he understands that he's Brahman, but the perfection of Brahman realization is to understand our relationship with the Paramatma and understand our relationship ultimately with Bhagavan, which is Krishna, right? And of course, as Prabhupada points out here, this system of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras has now become vitiated. And it appears in the form of the caste system in India. But it's lost its life, right? Because where there's no understanding of Krishna, there's no real understanding of one's proper purpose. Instead, people are running around looking for sense gratification, even within this the caste system of India. It's been misappropriated and it's used by one class to dominate over the others, which is just like what the animals do, right? And usually, it's the biggest animal wins, or the smartest. In this case, in the human species, it's the smartest, usually. The biggest doesn't necessarily mean the brightest. And so the smartest usually outsmarts the biggest. Not always, but very often, right? So, Prabhupada says here, this system has been current a very long time. This system, when it's used according to its proper purpose, then those goals, what is it? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Right? They're the four, what should we say, purposes of life. To live a religious lifestyle, to have one's material requirements fulfilled. This is natural, right? And when one's material requirements are fulfilled, then one can enjoy sense gratification. Right? We must act. Right? We have to eat. We have to work. We have to enjoy some sense gratification. But all of that work and all of that sensual endeavor, sensual activity, should be ultimately to understand our relationship with Krishna. That's why the process of devotional service, as recommended by Rupa Goswami, revolves all around, well, worshipping the deity, for a start. All of our activities are meant to be done for the pleasure of Krishna. That's why the Pancharatrika system is designed the way it is. Right? Now, ideally, the holy name. Now, it's interesting. In the Kali Yuga, we're given the chanting of Hare Krishna, which is all powerful, all potent, all powerful. Nam nam makari bahuda nijasava shaktis. All of Krishna's potencies are endowed within the chanting of Hare Krishna. Right? And so when we chant Hare Krishna, and we feel it. When we're chanting Hare Krishna in the kirtan, we feel the effect. Yeah, we feel enthused, right? We feel like we're on the spiritual platform when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? But how long does it last for? Huh? How long does that action inspired by pure devotional, by prema, how long does it last for? After breakfast? Maybe for a little while? Until we fall asleep? Because we ate too much halva or too much khichdi or whatever. Right? So, the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually all potent. Right? And we see in the character of personalities like the Goswamis, right? Krishna, Kirtana, Gana, Natana, they're chanting, they're dancing, they're calling out in ecstasy. Even we do it in the Kirtan. We chant, we dance, and we call out, Arivo! Huh? We see the symptoms of ecstasy in the practice of devotional service. But and that's uncovered by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Right? It's uncovered. The chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent and powerful that it reveals very quickly to us the realization and the experience of prema. This is one of the symptoms of the Panchanga Bhakti process or processes, that it reveals our spiritual identity to us. But we forget it. We quickly forget it. And so therefore, we're recommended to follow the Pancharatrika system of, along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, where we feel that ecstasy, at the same time, we have to follow the rules and regulations of the Pancharatrika system to gradually purify ourselves so that that feeling of ecstasy is something that lasts all day. Right? Instead of just in the kirtan and then after breakfast we fall asleep. So, having a proper understanding of that process is the duty of the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Right? They're meant to understand, or we're meant to understand, these processes and then how to apply them and how to engage others, and especially according to this vana and ashram system. Because we are, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're automatically elevated to that Paramahamsa platform. Right? But we don't, because we can't maintain that, we have to be practically engaged in some useful, or not so much, well, yes, useful, but appropriate activity that keeps us focused on serving Krishna, yet with that aim of purification, gradual purification, so that we can be elevated eventually to that platform of always feeling that spiritual ecstasy, and that our activities are always inspired by our relationship with Krishna, right? Our nitya-siddha relationship with Krishna. That's what we want to be. But like I say, you eat too much halva and then you fall asleep and then you forgot that you're an eternal resident of Vrindavan. Right? You've got a headache and think, oh God, what's happened? So therefore we're given the rules and regulations to follow. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhim Vina. Right? If we don't follow the rules and regulations as recommended in the scripture and as taught to us by our acharyas, our gurus, right? And Rupa Goswami is our sampradaya acharya, right? We're all Rupanugas, Prabhupada says. Right? So he gives us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the nectar of devotion, he gives us all of the, here's what you do to achieve that level of constant remembrance and constant meditation on serving Krishna. That's not something that we think about a few times a day, but something that we're deeply absorbed in all day. This is the state or stage of a Paramahamsa. Huh? And we want to be Paramahamsas, When we're in the kirtan in the morning, we feel like paramahamsas, right? Until we're asked to do something. what? I'm a paramahamsa. What are you asking me to do some service for? Right? That's where the test comes. Right? So the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas are meant to understand this Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhi, right? The rules and regulations of following devotional service. We have the natural desire to serve Krishna is inherent within us, but it's clogged up. Prabhupada says, clogged up, it doesn't naturally come out. So Prabhupada says, we've got it, it's like a car. A car with all of the, you know, with petrol in it and all the bits and pieces working properly, will, once you get it started, it'll go by itself. But it needs to be started. And the process of bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, is the means by which we start up that natural inclination, that natural propensity to serve Krishna. At the moment, because our conditioning is so powerful or so strong, our natural propensity is to engage in sense gratification. So, this, the sadhya, the goal, needs to be understood by someone. And that's the duty of the brahmanas, is to understand the ultimate goal of life. And this science of vana and ashrama, so that the brahmana should understand, or the Vaishnava should understand this, the science of vana and ashrama, in order to engage people so that they can live a steady life, they can enjoy sense gratification, like live a regulated life, then automatically some material benefits will accrue to those who live a ordered, structured life. And then with those material benefits, you can enjoy sense gratification. But at the point where it's required, so that our needs are fulfilled, not our wants, because we'll always want more than we need. So the brahmanas, and this is why the brahmanas, you know, samo damas tapa solcham, tapa, austerity, living simply is a symptom of the brahmanas, so that they demonstrate this model or this understanding that yes, some sense gratification is required. Try not eating, what happens? Right? Try not sleeping. Try to be, you know, artificially try to be a Raghunath Das. Right? What will happen if you only eat a few drops of buttermilk every second day? What will happen? What will happen? Huh? Well, you'll be very hungry, probably. Yeah, that comes later. You'll become very hungry, and then you eventually, I would say within 24 hours, you'll be raiding the Maha. Right? This is what happens. If we try to artificially imitate advanced devotional service, what usually happens? We fall down back to material activity. Effectively. Right? This is why vana and ashram is important. So we're stable, at least. We've got a stable. And then we can sit down and chant Hare Krishna. We can study the Vedas. We can gradually develop this deep understanding, deep realization of our spiritual identity and of our relationship with Krishna. That's the brahmana's duty, is to be able to recognize in each person, and the Vaishnava, you know, a qualified Vaishnava, because there are different levels of Vaishnava, right? A person who chants Hare Krishna is a Vaishnava, according to our very liberal definition of a Vaishnava, right? But as one becomes more advanced, then the qualifications of a Vaishnava become far more, prescriptive, right? It's, you know, being a Vaishnava is a very disciplined and determined endeavor, right, to be successful and to show the qualities, the qualities of a what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur? What's the word that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses to describe Haridas Thakur? Sahagrahi, is it? Vaishnava? You know, a pure devotee. I can't remember the Sanskrit term. But you know, a pure, there's a person who chants Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhu, Hare Bol. Huh? But then there's a very advanced devotee who we serve and worship even. Huh? We don't worship just anybody who chants Hare Krishna. We respect them. But some Vaishnavas, because they don't behave properly, we avoid them. Huh? So, whoa, he chants Hare Krishna, but whoa, what's he doing going down the pub? Huh? You know, I had a friend who used to chant 16 rounds a day, but, you know, quite often would be in the pub. He ended up dying of a heroin overdose. So, you know, sometimes we'll find contradictions in the behaviour of a devotee. It's contradictory. So we avoid where we see contradictions, we generally, we'll avoid that person because we know that association's not so good. Even though they chant Hare Krishna, that's good. But what we're looking for is the, what is it, Krishneti Yasya Giritam Manasa Driyeta Dikshasti Chet Pranati Bispajantam Ijam. We honour and respect those devotees that are sadhakas. They've taken initiation, they're following the sadhana process of purification. They're gradually elevating their consciousness, gradually. And this is the standard process in Kali Yuga. Gradually. Shanai, Uparamed, Krishna mentions in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The process of yoga, and even Lord Brahma says, by slow degrees, right, we gradually make advancement. Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, there's various stages of development in bhakti need to be approached step by step and anukramishyati, right? Anukramishyati. By following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, gradually one's consciousness is elevated. It takes time. It is possible to become Krishna conscious within a moment, right? It is possible. But usually it takes time. Right? But we're encouraged. The reason why the Panchanga bhakti items are there is to inspire us. Right? We get inspired by chanting Hare Krishna. We get inspired by seeing the deities. We get inspired by hearing the Bhagavatam. We get inspired by the association of the devotees. We get inspired by living in a temple. Right? We get inspired by that. And that's why we do it. Because, you know, Prabhupada makes this point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically you should be elevated to the platform of bhava and prema bhakti. Is what we should be, right? But Prabhupada says, In most of the people that I initiate, I don't see this. Right? And so therefore we have the Pancharatrika system as well. We have the Bhagavat Marg, which is preaching and chanting and which is enthusing and purifying. But because of our conditioning, we fall back. Right? And so therefore we have the second line of the railway track, and that's the Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is the rules and regulations. And Prabhupada says, you know, just as a train needs to be running on two tracks to reach its destination, and they need to be parallel, they need to be supportive of each other. So similarly also, we need that Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the rules and regulations of serving the deity, to keep us constantly connected and moving in a progressive way towards Krishna. Right? So this is the importance of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, who are meant to understand the Vana and Ashram system for the purpose of ordering and structuring society so that everybody's properly engaged. And so therefore it says here, and because of this misunderstanding, there is always confusion as to who is to work for what purpose. Right? Yes, okay, the purpose of life is to work for sense gratification. We acknowledge that. Right? Right? Don't we? Or do we usually, oh no, sense gratification is wrong. You shouldn't do it. But that's silly. We do sense gratification, don't we? Yeah. But it's got to be sense gratification regulated and appropriate. Not that, you know, I see the 9 o'clock Maha Prasadam and I eat, you know, 3 plates before going to bed. Actually, I discovered this earlier on in my devotional career. I loved the 9 o'clock Maha Prasadam. But I thought, what's going on here? Eventually I realised, what's going on here? We can't enjoy the 9 o'clock Mahaprasadam. Because if you do, you can't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think, what's the point of this? We got all this delicious prasadam, but we can't eat it. So we have our wants, right? Actually, who cooked the Mahaprasadam the other day? Not last night, the night before. Who cooked? Wasn't Braj Basi. Who? Prabhav. Yeah, it was Prabhav. It was pretty good. But I didn't wake up the next morning. But I digested everything very nicely. That was another thing. I wasn't feeling well, but I realized very quickly after enjoying the Mahaprasadam at night, you know, 9 o'clock, trying to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's like, ooh, and then trying to chant Hare Krishna, it's like, ooh, what's going on? So we have to. So maybe a little bit of Mahaprasadam's okay, you know, if you're really hungry. But it's not like we need it. We don't need it, actually. But we do need some form of, you know, there has to be some, we've got to eat something, right? Got to eat something. We can't artificially imitate the activities of Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das was fully conscious of his spiritual identity. And so the energy that he was, you know, that his body was running on was purely spiritual, right? Purely connected to the spiritual realm. And that's how come he was able to live like that. But if we try to do that without that spiritual connection, forget it. We can't. So therefore, we encourage sense gratification, but, okay, to the point where your needs are full, your actual needs are satisfied, are fulfilled, now use that healthy condition to also progress or advance your spiritual life. This is really what the human form of life is for. It's to chant Hare Krishna, right? And to render devotional service. And in the process of bhakti yoga, it's very interesting. The sensual needs of the body are taken care of, right? But not at the expense of our spiritual life, right? It's all designed around making spiritual progress. And looking at the chaturvanyam, what is it? Maya srishtam. Right? Krishna says, I've created this system so that we can look at the conditioning of the individual. We can identify what's his natural propensity to act. You know, and we should know by the time we're 30, between 25 and 30, we should be able to work out what we're good at doing. Right? I had this kind of dream, you know, when I was a kid, I'll get a guitar and become a rock star. Right? And sometimes I think like that now, you know, oh yeah, I can get a musical instrument, learn how to play it. Then I think, hang on a second, you know, if I was going to be a musician, it would have happened a long time ago. Right? Forget about it. It's a stupid idea. It's just a dream. Right? What are you actually capable of doing? What are you doing? Right? If you're working as a surgeon, fine. That's what you are. Be happy with that. And engage it in Krishna service. That's what we do. Right? So being able to identify who we are, what we are from the material. Okay. We know we're not the body, we're a spirit soul, right? Theoretically, we know that. But also we have to look at what does our conditioning, what are the modes of material nature and the body that we've acquired, what does that do, right? We may want to be a rock star, but, you know, that's a dream. We may want to make lots and lots of money. But how much money have you got in your pocket now? There's a good indication of how much money you're going to make. Most of us, making lots of money is not in our astrology. Right? It's not in our karma. I'm aiming for Krishna. Yeah, that's okay. But for ourselves, how much money have you got in your pocket? Nothing, right? That's right. If I look in my pocket, there's nothing in it. Somebody else already came and took it out. So we need to be aware of what we're good at doing, right? Just like Rasa, she's a good artist. We know she's a good artist. She's already painted so many paintings, right? And so we should facilitate that. And, you know, whatever propensities we have, we need to recognize that in ourselves first and be happy, be satisfied with that. There's no point in being dissatisfied with the fact that we're not what our dreams would like us to be. Huh? What's that? If we're dreaming about doing something and we never do it, what mode of material nature is that called? Huh? Tamas, yeah, ignorance. Huh? Think, yeah, I'm going to be a great rock star one day. Forget about it. That's just stupid. Huh? Or even we're thinking, yeah, I'm going to be a big paramahamsa like Haridas Thakur. Forget about that too. Because that's what devotees do. We sometimes think, yeah, I'm going to be a big, 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 big devotee. Right? But actually, we're just a regular old sudra. So do sudra work. But what makes a paramahamsa is that he does it for Krishna. Right? And is satisfied with what Krishna provides. That's actually very, very advanced, even for a sudra. So that's why we need to be able to recognise in ourselves, and if we're going to be Brahmanas, to recognise the characteristics, the natural characteristics, the varna, or the natural occupation of a person. Right? We're probably not going to be able to organise the whole of society according to the Varnashram institution. Like, you know, there was that king, Bir Ahambir. Did you hear that story of Bir Ahambir? He was a Kshatriya, right? But what he used to do was he would dress as an ordinary man. Then he'd walk around the villages of his kingdom to make sure that everybody was going to Mangalarti. Right? This is a very pious king. Right? And this is, you know, this is 500 years ago, some years ago. Right? So he would see that the citizens are engaged in their varna and their ashrama, but they're also chanting Hare Krishna. Right? This is the duty of a king, actually, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the purpose of the Varnashram system is to see that people are peaceful and happy, basically. Not that they're fulfilling all of their dreams. You know, this is what we have today, the Kshatriyas, or the politicians really. They tell everybody what they want to hear. Oh yeah, we're going to give you lots and lots of jobs. And you're going to fulfill all of your dreams. Huh? Oh, we'll vote for him. Right? But then they discover after 3 or 4 years, he promised us the heaven on earth, right? And what do we get? Hell. So they kick him out, look for somebody else who's going to promise them whatever they want, but none of them can deliver. So the devotees, the Vaishnavas or the Brahmanas, have to be able to tell people, look, there's always going to be struggle in existence. Jamna mritu jara vyadhi. Always. So whatever choice you make, there's never going to be a red carpet just rolls out in front of you. Right? There's no choice that's going to actually make you happy in material existence. The real choice is whether you should be connected to Krishna or not. That's what will make you happy. And so we have to learn to be satisfied with what's given to us by the laws of material nature. And then use that in Krishna's service. And that won't... And that's the perfection, actually. There'll always be struggle in material existence. Right? One of the reasons why people don't want to be devotees of Krishna, because they look at the Pandavas, you know, they look at Prahlad Maharaj, they look at Gajendra the elephant, you know, they look at all of the great devotees and they say, these guys are really struggling. Right? Right? The Pandavas. Did the Pandavas, you know, because the Pandavas were devotees of Krishna, did that mean that everybody worshipped them all the time? Yes or no? No. No, in fact, they were envied more than anything. Huh? Duryodhana hated them. Because they were so pious. Huh? And gave them such a hard time. So, you know, the Brahmanas have to be expert in educating people. Here's helping people realize, here's where you're situated and here's what you need to do, practically speaking, to make your life steady, right? So that you can chant Hare Krishna and uncover what the real wealth, right? The real wealth is not material prosperity. The real wealth is to have a simple life so that you can dedicate it then to moving your spiritual life forward. Right? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be spiritually advanced enough. We've got to do those things ourselves and then be spiritually advanced enough ourselves to recognize what's best for each of the individuals that we come in contact with so that they can be stable and steady. So dharma, art, karma, right? And then moksha means follow the path of bhakti so that gradually you'll make progress, right? That means sadhana. To get to the goal, sadhya, you've got to follow the sadhana. Right? So, Vedagya, we need to know the purpose of the Vedas. And Krishna says, Vedais cha sabayat aham, eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand our relationship with Krishna and how to get there. And that requires effort. You know, any valuable item, anything that's of any worth, usually requires effort to achieve. Right? Very few of us are going to be just walking down the street and then all of a sudden one day, kaboom, we get Krishna praying. Right? Unless you happen to be in the Sankirtan party. Right? And you're chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, you'll get it there. That's where you get it. Which is why we're recommended to go on Harinam a lot. Right? Because that's where you get real satisfaction in life. But even that requires effort. Huh? So anything worthwhile. So the brahmanas need to be able to teach people these things. Why the brahmana has such an elevated role. Right? The purpose of Veda is to understand the absolute. One who understands the absolute truth in three phases. So Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, we should understand these things. That's why we study the Bhagavan. That's why we don't study all of the Vedas. Right? A devotee doesn't need to study all of the Vedas. We only need to study the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And what does the Srimad Bhagavatam teach? You have to surrender to Krishna. What are all of the personalities that we see in the Bhagavatam, what do they do? What do they exemplify? Right up to the residents of Vrindavan, which is the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. They exemplify pure devotional service. Huh? This is why we study the Bhagavatam. That's what's needed. And so therefore, Prabhupada recommends Bhagavad Gita. That's just basics. That's like Brahman realization, pretty much for us. Then the Bhagavatam illustrates the mood of the devotees, right up to the gopis, basically. Right? And we're meant to emulate, or we're meant to follow in the footsteps of those devotees. The nectar of devotion, interesting, Prabhupada's given us the nectar of devotion because that gives us the 64 basic items of devotional practice. Right? Is what you do to be a devotee, like the devotees in the Bhagavatam. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us, here's what devotees do in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Sankirtan mission. Here's how you behave, here's how you act, here's your motivations. Right? So this is all we need to study to be effective brahmanas, really speaking. Right? To know the Vedas. And the purpose of the Vedas is to know the Bhagavad Gita, to know the Bhagavatam, to know the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, and to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the practical application of all of those things in the Sankirtan mission. That's what the Chaitanya Charitamrita, amongst other things, teaches us. Right? So, that's how, as brahmanas, right, in society, assuming that we're aspiring to be brahmanas, or aspiring to be brahminical, we need to understand Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and then how to serve them, right, effectively. And then we can be considered to be the best of the brahmanas, right? Hands up here, who's the best of the brahmanas? Okay, good. The best of the brahmanas. They're humble. Any comments or questions from the best of the brahmanas? Are you greater? No? What do you think? You're a Brahmana? What are you? What do you think you are? What do you think? What are they, what are mum and dad telling you? Don't know. Okay. You'll find out. We'll find out in due course. What does this astrology say? This is why they do astrology. This is why astrology is important, because you look at the general characteristics of the person, then you train them accordingly. You engage them accordingly. That's the idea about astrology. Not so much, you know, how big this or that or the other thing is going to be, but the qualities of a person. In this day and age, you know, it's hard to work out exactly. But just get the idea of the inclinations of a person. From above. Yeah.
Put them in different classes. But it got to a point where everyone's saying, you're a true Brahmana, you're a Brahmana.
So what's wrong with that?
That's okay, but I'm just saying.
It's okay. But it's not okay because, and this is why the Vaishnava is the highest, because the Vaishnava sees everything from the spiritual perspective first, right? And he doesn't discriminate. Because otherwise, you know, what will go on? I'm a Brahmana, you're a Sudra. Right? So you do what I tell you to do, okay?
It was like that.
Yeah, I'm a Brahmana. Even in ISKCON. When I joined, I had some material possessions when I joined a temple. I had a guitar. I was an aspiring rock star. Right? So I had a maiden guitar. It was a $300 guitar. So, you know, $300 in 1978. It was a good guitar, right? And one of the devotees came along and he saw I had it and he said, you know, it's the duty of the, you know, the sudras to give to the brahmanas. Give me your guitar. So, you know, I gave it to him. Then Ushapati found out. And that devotee had gone off to the airport. So Ushapati hopped in a car, he drove out of the airport and he got the guitar back from that devotee and brought it back to the temple. So, you know, you do see exploitation by the brahmanas of the even within ISKCON. So, but a true brahmana is going to be acting on the spiritual platform and so won't be discriminating, right? Won't be discriminating from the material perspective. So this requires maturity, a lot of maturity, to be able to deal with everybody according to their propensity, right? But at the same time, treating everybody equally because they're not a Brahmana. What is it? What's that verse? No. Aham. Naham vipro, yeah. Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya or a Sudra. Huh? I'm Gopi Bhattu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasana Das, right? I'm a servant of Krishna first and foremost. So the Brahmanas have got to be fixed in this proper understanding of their identity and the identity of everybody else, but engages them according to their external, you can look at an ant, right, and you can say, okay, he's a spirit soul, right? If he's empowered by Krishna, he can do anything, right? But you can't expect him to, you know, jump a tall building. It's just an ant. Right? So based on the external covering of the spirit soul, we have to be able to recognise the spirit soul, but also look at the limitations, if you like, and then engage them accordingly. Not discriminate against them based on that. Or shall we say, we do discriminate, but there's two different types of discrimination. There's discrimination from the positive aspect, in that, okay, he's an ant, so we'll only get him to do things that ants can do, not expect the ant to be able to do things that a giant can do, right? So there's that. There's a lot of maturity required in being able to identify the natural propensities and the ashram of a person and then engage them accordingly, but at the same time treat them with equal respect, right? And that's why there's a huge fear within ISKCON. You know, there are devotees who promote Vana and Ashram and say, we should organise society according to Vana and Ashram. But as Prabhupada says, the system's become vitiated. It doesn't have life because it's lost its meaning. The meaning is to be engaged in Krishna's service according to your propensities. Not, I'm a Brahmana and you all do what I tell you to do. Does that make sense? Well, usually, kalo sudra sambhava. In Kali Yuga, most of us are sudras, or at least have a percentage of that quality. There are not very, and you know, I was looking at some statistics the other day. There's like for every 1,000 people, there's one brahmana. Something like that. And for every 1,000 people, there's 9 kshatriyas. I can't remember. You know, so it's the higher levels of the Vana Ashram system, there's less people in that category. So my observation is, I think experience teaches us that most people rise to their level of capacity in due course of time, right? So we may think, yeah, I'm something more than I am now, but if we haven't achieved that potential, right, by the time we're 30 or 35 or whatever, then that's what we are, right? And so we might be dreaming about being a Brahmana, but we're still engaged as a sudra. And if that's what's happening at 30, 35, that's probably where we are.
I just want to ask, is this a discussion round?
Is it what?
Is this a discussion, questioning and answering or discussion round?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to ask to all of my friends, we are just here, if we are here to just to share the thoughts, is it really difficult to have desires in the life?
To have the what?
Desires in the life.
Is it difficult?
Is it really difficult to have the desires in the life? Or is
to have desires, we all have desires. Is that what you mean? Or is it difficult to fulfill desires?
No. Is it possible that we live a life without desires?
No.
So who is Brahman?
Who's what?
Brahman.
We all are.
No.
Who is a Brahmana, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, if you... Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita the qualities of each of the different varnas, right? The different Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And a Brahmana's characteristics... I mentioned samot, they're equipoised, tamas, they're sense-controlled, they're austere, tamas, tapas, socham, they live a clean life, they live a simple life, they follow Vedic injunctions, they are learned, and they know how to apply learning. So they're the qualities of a Brahmana. Now, it gets more complicated in Kali Yuga because people are not purely Brahmanas or
I'm sorry interrupting you. But now, if I'll say that in briefly, Brahmana is a person who is free of desires to be, and I can say that Brahmana is a person who is not influenced by his senses. Isn't it that, sir?
Yes, that's called Dhamma, sense controlled. That's a quality of a Brahmana.
Dhamma,
but look, nobody exists without desire. I think
I live without desire, sir.
That's not possible. You wouldn't exist if you had no desire.
No. Desire, there is some need and desire. Desire is something something beyond need. Like you were telling to all of the people that if we live, you know, the life of Brahmana or something just up to desire, up to need, then we can go to Krishna's consciousness. But if we are just going to fulfill our desire, then we can't go to Krishna's consciousness. Because consciousness is something which is just a knowledge, which is a knowledge in a human brain. Because human brain can go up to certain limit. And Krishna's consciousness, I think, sir, is the consciousness which is beyond the normal brain. Isn't it, sir?
The living entity, that's us, doesn't live without having some desire. Even desire to serve Krishna is a desire. That's called a pure desire. That's what we aspire to. But at the same time, because we've got material body and material needs, and so therefore we also have desires for material, when we finish class, where's everybody going to go? Where's everybody going to go after class?
Are you talking to
me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. Where are we going to go? We're going to go upstairs and have breakfast. Because we have desires. And one of those desires is we're hungry. We need to have something to eat. So a brahmana or a devotee takes something to eat, but he makes sure that it's been offered to Krishna, it's prasadam, and so his desires for eating, and a materialist will go to the coffee shop on Victoria Avenue and have something to eat there, right? But won't eat purified food that's been offered to Krishna. So everybody has desires, but the devotee's desire is, and this is why it's called desireless, it's because his desire is, or her desire is, I want to do what is pleasing to Krishna. And so even though they have desire, they sublimate or purify that desire by engaging it in Krishna's service and in activities that are pleasing to Krishna. And so that's called desireless, right? Yeah. Because it's like you do what your dad tells you to do, right? You have your desires, but you do what your father wants you to do, right? And so in that way, your desire is satisfied by serving your father's desire, because your father wants the best for you. So similarly, also the devotees like to serve Krishna, because Krishna wants to serve his devotees. They also want to serve him. That's called pure. But there's still desire. And desire is not a bad thing. In fact, it's quite normal. It's natural.
But I'm not talking about there are something which we need to do. Like you're telling me that if my father is expecting that I should be a good child, then I should behave like that. I'm not talking about that desire. I'm just talking about the desire which is influenced, which influences our senses. That's the desire I'm talking about. Like, I want to be something.
Yeah.
Like, if I have those desires, like you told to other person that in the morning we start Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And after some time we forget to enchant that. Because what I think that happens when we are sitting here, if we have desires in ourselves and if we are bound of our senses, we will not be there. We are sitting there, like you are sitting there and I'm sitting there, but my mind will go somewhere else in dream state. So if we have the desires which are occupied through my senses, nose, eyes and blah blah blah, so if I'm infected by my desires, I can't go to I can't achieve Krishna's consciousness. That's the thing I want to
We find out what Krishna wants, and then we follow those those rules and regulations to change our desire from selfish to pleasing Krishna. We'll automatically get our desires fulfilled, and Krishna will be satisfied. The devotees will be happy, and we'll be successful. We should finish here. It's getting late. Kvantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.